Good morning, folks. Good morning. What a beautiful day to be here. A great day in the kingdom of God. Raise the cheer. Glenn Garris is in the house. Raise the cheer. Just awesome. God bless you, brother. Prayers continue with you. I have a thank you card from Don and Nancy, and it reads, "We feel like we are held in the arms of God as the congregation continues to keep us in their prayers. We are blessed with God's peace, love, and presence because of your prayers. We cannot thank you and the church enough for your cards and your prayers. Thank you, thank you, thank you." Don and Nancy Johnson. It's great to have Don here. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, a great day in the kingdom of God. If you'll just look right here front and center, we got Myron Cooper in the house, okay, for baptism. Did you enjoy the photo up there? We got permission from Allison and from Brett to put that. Laura calls it affectionately, Mini Brett. Oh yeah, just a great day in the kingdom of God. Really looking forward to this. And of course, every sacrament of baptism is an opportunity for us as the household of faith to also renew our baptism, to remember our baptism, and to give thanks and to be thankful. Did we lose her? Check one, two. Did it stop on his Brad? Okay. I have here the UNICEF collection. The Church Women United. I'm looking at the team. Yeah, Church Women United. And this, Gene says, is the last day, the last opportunity to contribute to this. Just among the many blessings that these offerings bring. Just try to absorb this and picture this. You ready? 7 cents. I mean, you can picture it a nickel, 2 pennies. You can picture it 7 little pennies. 7 cents provides 50 kids with safe water for a day. 7 cents, 50 children. So when you give your contribution, I told Gene, wouldn't it be something that just, it's inspiring to picture all these children that are going to be blessed by this. Last day, last opportunity for this. Now then, are there any parish notices to come before us before we begin our worship service this morning? Since you shut it out, my eyes are... There you go, sir. Next Sunday, I'm looking to the boss here, and I think she's gonna.
You should have gotten in your bulletin the nominating committee report. You might want to look that over because sometimes communication is ambiguous. Before you're elected to an office that you don't want to be elected to, you might want to double check because we have made mistakes in the past. So double check those nominating committee sheets. And make sure that your name is where it's supposed to be.
Thank you, Laura. And by the way, if you're a member of the PPR committee, that meets at 2:30 at the Kingsley United Methodist Church today. And if you're a member of the administrative board, it's a charge conference rather than a church conference. I always laugh at that. I can't get enough. I say, come on. You think you're not going to have enough room for people to come. But at any rate, technically, it's a charge conference. So if you're a member of the ad board, that charge conference would be at 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. this afternoon at the Kingsley United Methodist Church. Now then, are there any other parish notices or announcements? Yes, Jeannie. Okay, the concert, I know that's Friday, so if you're interested in the Christian concert, get a hold of Jeannie. And the Leaf Raking, was that for next Sunday, was it, Jeannie? Next Sunday the 4th. Next Sunday the 4th for the reef rake. I can't. That's tough. But the Leaf Reiki. It's easy for you to say, Jeannie. Could be an interesting day. Any other prayers, notices? Yes, sir, Keith. I understand, and because we've got a situation here, we got Wilma going in for eye surgery this week. Want to especially remember Wilma Bowers in our prayers, Brother Wilma. Any other parish notices? Hearing none, let's prepare our hearts for morning worship. us pray. Loving God, through Jesus Christ, our great and eternal High Priest, we give you praise and consecrate ourselves to follow you. As we worship you and celebrate your glorious resurrection, open our eyes so that we may see. Open the eyes of our minds to learning and understanding. Open the eyes of our hearts to love and compassion. Open the eyes of our souls that above all things we may see Jesus, always with us and always going before us to lead the way. And may all that we do, therefore, be to the glory of our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord at all times.
Let everyone bless God.
Praise the Lord continually.
Let everyone praise Christ.
Our souls boast in the Lord.
We boast in the Spirit's greatness.
With one voice we magnify and exalt the Lord, for God has delivered us and made us whole.
Exalt our God, the Lord of life.
And now lift up from your hearts this hymn of praise, 400. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Take this opportunity to welcome one another through the passing of the peace. time to invite the children to come forward for the children's moments.
I have something here that this is jewelry box, okay? Your mommies, your grandmothers, you have any of you have older sisters?
Oh, big sisters? Big sister might have a jewelry box. Now, you know, jewelry boxes come in all different shapes and sizes. Sometimes they're square, sometimes they're rectangular, sometimes they're real colorful. Sometimes they're just real simple, real plain. But you see, it's not the jewelry box. It's not what's on the outside that counts. It's what's on the inside. You ready for this? Take a look. You ready? Here we go. Let's take a look inside. Oh, there's treasure. Oh, there's treasure. Look at this. Look at that. Oops. Whoops. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that pretty? Yeah. Gold. That's gold. Yeah, it's gold. It's gold. Yay. Or if it was a gift from me, we might have to talk afterwards. But anyway, no. I just kid you. It's gold. It is gold. And precious, see? See, now you know what? People are a lot like jewelry boxes. Yes, we are. We come in all different shapes and sizes, different colors. But you know what? It's not the outside again that matters. It's what's on the inside. And do you know what's on the inside? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Your very spirit, God made. And you're all therefore treasures to the Lord God. Oh yes, you are, every one of you. Now, there was a man who came to Jesus this morning, and he looked different, okay? He was blind. And you know what? He was very, very poor. Remember I told you sometimes jewelry boxes are real plain. He was very, very poor. And some people in the community looked down on him. They looked down on him. They didn't care for him because he was poor. But what do you think Jesus did? Jesus cared. What do you think, sweetie? Love it. Let's hear from him. What do you think Jesus did? He wanted to come to Jesus. You think Jesus said yes? You think so? He wanted to be healed. And nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. But Jesus did. Because again, everyone is a treasure to Jesus. A treasure. So much so, in fact, that you see that cross up on the altar? Jesus gave his very life. You're that precious to him, every single one of you. You know, we should look upon other people the way Jesus looks at us, huh? Not on the outside, okay? But to remember that inside them is a treasure, a spirit that God has made, that Jesus gave his very life to save. So let's go to the Lord now, and let's thank Jesus for this remarkable love. Shall we do that? Let's make a big old circle. Can I join your hands? You want to hold hands? Hold hands if you want, okay? But we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the love that we find in Jesus. We give you thanks that you have given your life to save us from our sins, to cleanse us of our sins, to baptize us in your remarkable love, just as we're going to have Mylon Cooper baptized today, celebrating your love, Jesus. And Lord, help us to love others the way you love us. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, just remember, you're all special and everybody's special. And we said, wouldn't it be nice? Let me give you a couple suckers here. You take two. Grab two out of there. You should help yourself. Come on up here. Pick the two you want. And you know, we said, wouldn't it be nice if we could love everybody the way Jesus loves us? So what I want you to do, take one of those suckers, give it to somebody. You keep one of them. Keep the one you want and give the other one away as a treasure to somebody, as a gift to them, you know. Just tell them that Jesus loves them. Will you do that? Allison, you want to help me with the mic here in a little bit? You want to help me? That's right. Get the two you like. Hey, buddy. Get the two you like. Okay? And then when you've got your suckers, you can go ahead and you can go back to your pew. You can go sit with your family. You betcha. You betcha. Has everybody got one? Marshall didn't get one? Marshall, come here, buddy. Come here. You want to pick them out? Marshall, you want to pick them? Pick the two you want. Well, you only got one, buddy. Here, let me just give you another one. Here, you get two. You get... Here, Dad. I'm going to give you... Well, you're awesome, son. You're awesome. And we're having an awesome day with your family. We sure will. Well, we've got Allison has kindly agreed to carry the microphone for us. What a day in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful day. If you're a visitor, we welcome you. If you wish, by the way, to extend further hospitality, if you wish, there are visitors' cards that are stuffed in the pews, and if you're missing one, just let the ushers know. They'll be sure to bring you one from another pew. But if you wish, if you elect, fill that out. Put your telephone number on there, and when the offering takes place here in a little while, just drop it in the offering plate, and the ushers will get me those cards. If you want to hear from me, put your phone number on there, because you will. And we'll get in touch with you and get you better acquainted with this marvelous church family. This portion of our worship service together is called The Joys and Concerns. We've already been left in joys, and we're going to continue to do that. It could be, for instance, a birthday, a wedding anniversary. It could be a Thanksgiving testimony of how the Lord is helping you along the road of life. You want to lift that testimony, raise your hand. Could be a concern. Maybe there's someone that's sick that you're concerned about, and you want to lift them up in prayer, raise your hand. So for joys or concerns, Allison's going to bring you the microphone. That way we can all hear in the house. So just please keep your hands up for her.
Yeah, I have a lot of joys. It's great to have Glenn in the house and here in church, and thank you to everyone for your prayers and concerns. Also, it's great to have Justin and his family home and even have Courtney home. And also, tomorrow is Dad's birthday.
Tomorrow's the big birthday? Hey, congratulations. Raise the cheer. Raise the cheer. God bless you, girl. God bless you.
Yeah, I've got some concerns. Rod Dawson's wife, Paula, her brother, had two massive heart attacks, 41 years old, and everything was blocked. They lost him for 4 minutes, and they got him up at Parkview, and they had him packed on ice all weekend and everything, but they can't get no brain waves, and they got to make a decision on that. So just the prayers and concerns on that. And I just want to thank the Lord for helping me through last week, because I couldn't have done it without him, because glory to him. But thank you for everything. Love y'all.
Amen. Dave, thanks for lifting that concern. And again, thank you for sharing your witness last Sunday. Appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, as Reverend Lay said earlier, my father is going in for surgery this Tuesday. I have to have him at the building behind the Lutheran Hospital at 7:30 in the morning. They're anticipating, hopefully, that everything will go okay. The surgery should take around 1 hour. They will be removing his left eye. Thank the good Lord for that. And hopefully, if everything goes well, we'll have him back sometime Tuesday afternoon. Another major concern is, I'm sure all of you are aware and know Mr. Lee Hoblett, that lives outside of town. He will be going in for surgery this Thursday. He has a ruptured belly button and a rupture down in his groin, and I understand that is infected. So it's a pretty serious situation. They are going to keep him overnight for observation after they do the surgery. So keep him in your prayers, if you will, please.
Indeed, Keith. Indeed. Thank you. Thank you. Any other concerns or joys? Joys or concerns? Just please raise your hand, keep your hand up so that Allison can see you.
Yesterday was my dad's birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Dave. Happy birthday. Dad, let me see if I can help you.
I have a joy and a concern. The joy is we get to
Okay, so remember John and your prayers. So there's a sign-up sheet out here for the treats, and I tell you, that Wednesday ministry, that after-school ministry, is just a vital ministry. So if you want to support that, you know, you can get behind that by sending some treats for them. Other, yes, John, yes. Thank you, Brother John. Remember Eston. Remember Eston in your prayers. Any others? Any others? It's a great... And here we got right up front. Here we got Allison.
Tuesday is my mom's birthday.
Well, and a happy birthday to Gloria. Where is she? I'm getting lost here. happy birthday, Gloria. Happy birthday. Any other joys or concerns? Well, can we show an appreciation for Allison? Hasn't she done a wonderful job? Thank you, Allison. Thank you so much. Great hospitality. Thank you. And now at this time, let us turn to the Lord in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, as we've lifted up these concerns, again, what a comfort it is to know that you're always with us. Indeed, you're always ahead of us. Lord, you're preparing the way for each of us, no matter what turn in the road, what turn of events. We cannot see, but you can see, O Lord. So we will just entrust ourselves to your vision, to your care. Just continue to bless us as we're looking now for this wonderful blessing to come to Mylon Cooper, raised in a house of faith. In this house of faith, oh Lord, we find in you the foundation, the rock upon which we stand, upon which we build our lives. As you bless Mylon Cooper today, continue to bless us. As we serve you, all to the glory of Jesus, we pray. Now bless us, Lord, as we unite with Jesus and accept his invitation. We come to him and we lift up from our hearts the prayer that he invites us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite us to stand together now as this chorus prepares our hearts for, again, the sacrament, for the word and the sacrament of baptism. Spirit of the living God, 393. Let's sing this through twice. be seated. And now at this time, we turn to the Word of God, one of the suggested scriptures for this day. And what a message. What a witness of the gospel. It is written, they came to Jericho. And as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. Now when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, my teacher, my Lord, let me see again. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has made you whole. And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, choir. Love that piece. I've always loved that. What a witness that we have today to prepare our hearts to celebrate the love of God, the life-changing love of Jesus through holy baptism from Mylon Cooper. What a witness. The witness of Mark begins that they had gone to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were now about to leave Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting along the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, with a loud voice he cried out, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many in the crowd sternly ordered him to be quiet. Now, the context of this gospel is critical. Bartimaeus. We moderns think we know his name. We typically call him Bartimaeus. Keith, you had an anthem one time. Remember, a big cantata. It was a cantata. And Bartimaeus was part of the cantata. And we moderns think we know his name. You don't know his name. I don't know his name. We don't know his name. And that is critical. That's not just an incidental. That is critical to the context for the platform of the good news of the kingdom of God. Bartimaeus is a no-name. And that stands out starkly. Simon Bar-Jonah. Who is he? We know who that is. It's Simon, son of Jonah. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, no name is given. He is therefore a no-name. He is quite literally among the outcasts, the marginalized of the society. He's where? Along the roadside. And when he cries out to Jesus, what does the crowd do? They want to silence him. Because he has reached the end of the quota of their mercy, of their grace, of their patience. And their assessment is that he's not worth the care. And so they sternly order him to be quiet. But now here's where the gospel unfolds. Sternly ordered to be quiet, what does he do? He cries out all the more. He doesn't care about embarrassment because Jesus is walking by. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And it is written that the Lord stopped and stood still. This is amazing. You know, there is no power in all the universe that can halt the course of God. There is no power in all the universe that can alter the movement of the Creator God. When I was a young man growing up, I had an interest in astronomy, and it seemed that the consensus of the science community at the time, the asteroid belt beyond Mars, it was believed that it was leftover rubble that from which the Lord God formed the solar system that we live in. And of course, you know, the Lord in his wisdom put that gas giant Jupiter out there, and it catches all these projectiles to this day, protecting the planet Earth. And the other planets, Jupiter, massive Jupiter, continues to draw in deadly projectiles for our protection. However, there's a growing consensus today that now believes that the asteroid belt was indeed a planet. It was a world at one time. And that in the early days of the Lord forming the solar system, there was a projectile that got past Jupiter that struck a planet with such force, forget level one extinction event, it annihilated the planet, turning it into rubble, and the rubble dispersed, and it is believed that that today is the asteroid belt. There are powers that can stop a planet, but there is no power in all the universe that can stop the movement of God, that can alter the curse of the Lord God. What did Jesus say at his trial before he was to be executed, before he was to be crucified? What did he say to the powers of that day? "You do not take my life from me, for no one has the power to do that. I lay it down of my own accord. This is amazing that we've got a nobody. We've got a no-name. Someone along the marginalized of the society. Nobody cares for. They tell him to hush up. But he cries out to Jesus. And it is written that the Lord stopped. And the Lord stood still. And the Lord does something else. The Lord says, come to me. Isn't that an amazing moment that the Lord of love invites this nobody? Have you ever had moments in your life where maybe something happened and your self-esteem just plummeted? You know, I've always believed self-esteem's not that important. Now, I know I go against the movement of counselors. I recognize that. I don't think self-esteem's nearly as important as Christ's esteem. Not nearly as important. He esteemed the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And he calls out and Jesus says, call him here. And they yell to this nobody. They say, take heart, get up. He's calling you. And here's an amazing thing. What is it written? It's written, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and made his way to Jesus. Now that again is just amazing. You see, the cloak was very important in the days of Jesus, especially among the destitute. Rabbi Friedland used to teach us that in the Talmud, there was a rabbinical teaching that if somebody got so low economically and if they just lost it all, then they could sell their cloak to a wealthy person and receive that money to buy whatever urgent needs, food. I know Dick's talked about in Haiti that they work for today to eat for today, huh, Dick? There's nothing in the cupboards. This is a poor man. So no doubt he probably had already sold the cloak. But Rabbi Friedland taught that wealthy man who gave the money, good money, for the cloak, in the rabbinical teaching there's a law that come sundown, that wealthy person must see to it that the cloak is restored, carried back to the poor person. He's along the roadside. You know what that cloak was? His last material security. Clark, that cloak was the only thing to protect him from the cold of the night. Allison's a nurse. It was the only thing to save him from hypothermia. So what he has done is amazing. What he has done, he has cast off the last of this world's protection, the last of this world's interests, if you will, trusts. He's thrown it away. He's making a leap of faith because he's got a hope in something greater. He believes he's going to find that something greater in Jesus, in the invitation of Christ, in the life-giving, eternal life-giving relationship that only Jesus, that only God can give us. So he throws this off and he comes to Jesus, and that hope is fulfilled. Jesus takes this nobody and he says, "What? This is the Lord. This is the creator of all that is. What do you want me to do for you?" Isn't that a beautiful thing, son, daughter of God, that the Lord speaks to you? Daughter, what do you want me to do for you? And you have that private counsel. I know your mama has that chorus that we've done. We just talked about this in Bible study, Brett. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Does that pretty well fit the description of Bartimaeus along the road, huh? Hush up, Bartimaeus. You're nobody. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. In spite of all the pressure from the crowd, Bartimaeus doesn't care. He only wants to go to that which is greater. He wants to accept that invitation to Jesus. And then the Lord says, what do you want me to do for you, my child? And he says what? Lord, I want to see again. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has made you whole. And I like the old King James Version here, one. That your faith has made you what? Whole. This is not just about physical sight, and it's made perfectly clear. Because what does Bartimaeus do with the miracle? What does he do with the invitation to Christ? What does he do with it? Yes, his physical sight is restored, but then what does he do? It is written, immediately his sight was restored and he followed Jesus on the way. That is a formula critical to the early church, for that spells discipleship. Huh? Discipleship. There's more than physical restoration that is taking place. Indeed, dare I say, that there are things more important even than physical restoration. All right? We've all known brothers and sisters for whom we prayed for physical healing. Perhaps it came. Praise God. That's what we want. You know, Bill Bouchon was part of a study in our conference, and they were talking. The theme was about healing, Keith. And they had one doctor after another, doctor, counselor, clinician, on and on. You know, the upper echelons of the intelligentsia were all gathered, you know, all these theologians, way deep theologians. And they all gathered. And Bill was part of it. And finally, to condense the study, they asked Bill, because they dealt with the problems of what is healing? You know, is it just physical, or is there something greater? And at any rate, when they were finished, Bill Bouchon, they said, now Bill, we want you to offer a prayer for Brother So-and-so who is here and is sick. And immediately, Reverend Bill Bouchon, please Lord, we pray that our brother be healed. Now, they'd gone through this long, long journey, but when it came right down to the instincts of humankind, to the children of God, you can't hide it from God. What do you want? What do you want, Bartimaeus? Lord, restore my sight. What do you want, daughter? What do you want, son? The Lord already knows what you want. Don't hide it from the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Of course we want healing. Of course we do. And praise God, sometimes it comes. But sometimes something greater comes. Bartimaeus made something of this miracle. He made something of the relationship with Jesus. He followed Jesus on the way as a disciple. Now, Fanny Crosby, remember Fanny Crosby? She had that same sight, Ted. She made something of this relationship that she had, that Jesus invited her into. You're a sinner that she was, sinner that we are. We are invited to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. She made something of it. Look at all the hymns she wrote. And bear in mind that Fanny Crosby was totally blind. You remember that? The story goes that Fanny Crosby was 6 weeks of age when she had an eye infection. The regular doctor was out of town. And get this, a man posing as a doctor, Allison, posing as a doctor, prescribed the wrong treatment, and within days she became totally blind, 6 weeks old. Now, what would that do, Gloria? What would that do to us? You know what it would do. The Lord knows what that would do to us. Break our hearts. We want Marla to be healthy, don't we? You bet we do, and the Lord already knows that. But lest we feel pity for Fanny Crosby, listen to what she wrote at age eight. 8 years of age, this blind child wrote, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world content I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Rather than being bitter and living in self-pity, rather than blaming the doctor for his sin against her and dwelling in spiritual and emotional darkness for all her days, she chose instead to use the gifts that God had blessed her with to write over 8,000. Let me say that again. I can't fathom that. Can you? Over 8,000 hymns and poems to praise and glorify God. Blind though she was, she could see what many of us sighted cannot see. She could see and celebrate the life-altering love of God in Jesus Christ, her Lord. And she made something of that love. She made something of that relationship. She, like Bartimaeus, followed Jesus on the way. Oh, when I look out here at Marilyn Cooper. Oh, Allison. Here he is. He is Mylon Barr Allison. Mylon Barr Brett. Mylon. son of Allison, son of Brett, raised in the house of God with a foundation that will never fail. For your foundation is your relationship with Jesus. And every day you're making something of that. What he's going to accomplish as a disciple, I can't see. But Jesus can see it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to trust Jesus. And like Bartimaeus, we're going to follow him on the way. Brett and Allison, I'm going to invite you to bring Mylon Cooper before us now. Dave Bowen, I'm going to have Dave Bowen come up here. Dave is going to, you can look at your leadership record there. Dave is going to become the lay leader in the new year. And I said, you know, since Brett is our current lay leader, has done just an outstanding job. But he's kind of got his hands full right now. So we're having Dave come up here. And I wonder about his arm. Now to turn to page 39 in the hymn book. Sure. And I want to thank Laura for going down and rescuing our baptismal candle. And may I just say, just as an aside, isn't it wonderful to have all of us tall young men standing up here? Huh? Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price.
I present Mylon Cooper for baptism.
Thank you, Dave. And now, Allison, Brett. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
And will you nurture Mylon Cooper in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess this faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
I will.
And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Mylon Cooper now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water. And after the flood, You said in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Spirit. Bless this gift of water and Myron who receives it. Wash away his sin. Clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. And now I'm going to have the parents at this time, if they will just bring Myron over here to the baptismal font, and that we want him to feel nice and safe in his parents' arms. So you'll just lean him back, and I'm going to have Dave come over here in just a minute. But first, Myron Cooper. And by the way, as a reminder, we never use the last name in a baptismal, in the sacrament of baptism. Why? Because his last name is Family of God, as is yours. As is yours. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Myron Cooper, baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, Dave, if you will, representing the church, I'm going to have Dave come in, place his hand as well, and here we go, Brett. Myron Cooper, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is our joy. I'm going to have you all stand at this time. It's our joy to welcome a new brother in Christ. We've got something special, and I'm going to entrust this to Mom and Dad. This is the baptismal candle, and of course, today of all days, we have Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. In the rabbinical tradition, there is the Bar Mitzvah, the son of the covenant, and that's what this really, really corresponds to, Bas Mitzvah for the daughter of the law, of the covenant. So what I invite you to do, this is the baptismal candle. This is a child of God raised again in a Christian home. You just continue each year on the anniversary. You can take this bulletin home if you wish, but the anniversary each year of the baptism for Milo, be sure to light the candle again. Witness to him, Mom. Witness to him, Dad. The love of Jesus until that day. When Myron can say yes from his own heart as a profession of faith. I'm going to entrust that to you then, Dad. And it's when you're finished, you certainly, in fact, you can blow that out on any job if it's starting to burn you. I think that's important. And most importantly of all, now, members of the household of God, I commend Myron to your care, to your love and care. Do all of your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as a member together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now, Myron, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you, strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Well, let's just raise a cheer. That's all that's appropriate to do. At the close of the service, we're going to have a greeting line back here, okay? We're going to have a greeting line so that y'all get an opportunity to welcome your new brother in the household of faith. And now you may return to your pews. You may be seated. And the ushers will assist us as we follow Jesus on the way. The morning offering. Let us pray together. You invite us, God, to taste and see that you are good, where we have tasted and you are truly good. As a token of our gratitude and a reflection on our devotion, we give back to you from our abundance. Multiply the gifts of our hands that they may double what we could do alone. To the glory and service of Jesus. Amen.
Good job. Thank you. We had a very special board meeting the other night. We have adopted a challenge to bring souls into the kingdom of God. I'm not going to tell you the number that we adopted, because I don't want to lessen your vision, but I do want you to join us in this cause to bring souls into the kingdom of God, to come to Jesus, to accept that gracious invitation.
And if you have not yet, therefore, been baptized, and you want to make this profession of faith today, the font is here, it is ready to go, and Jesus is in the house. So I invite you, don't worry about a crowd, because we're not going to hush you, I'll be warned. We're not going to hush you here. We're going to cheer you on and support you. If you've not been baptized and you want to be, during this closing hymn, and listen to that hymn, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," you come forward and we will baptize you here and now. Let us join together, therefore, for the closing hymn, 351, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit rest, abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.